It's a funny Sunday, this, because it's sort of in between Christmas, New Year, not really Christmas, not really New Year, sort of not quite. So we're going to do something slightly in between the two. We're going to be, most of you are here on Christmas Day, and we're going to think back a little bit to what we did on Christmas Day and think about some other things as well. So on Christmas Day, we had a few Christmas stockings, didn't we, like this one. Who can remember what we found in our Christmas stocking? Somebody must have done, hopefully. It was only a few days ago. Lucas. An orange. Right. So, we found the orange. Now, who can remember what the orange reminded us of? The world. Okay, yes, lots of things. Who did it remind us of? Did somebody make that link that I didn't make? What was he called? What was his name? Bishop Nicholas. Thank you. Bishop Nicholas, who became Saint Nicholas, who in folklore became something else, but we won't talk about that, okay? So, we had Bishop Nicholas, Saint Nicholas, and the reason the orange reminds us of him is because the story goes that one day there's a very poor family and they didn't have enough gold for the dowry for their three daughters. So Nicholas came along and in the dark of night, he crept out the window and with an excellent shot, chucked the bag of gold through the window and it landed inside their stockings and he managed to repeat the trick three nights running. So that's why we have a pot of gold or an orange, which looks a bit like gold. Andy's looking very skeptical, but it's true. It's so true. Wikipedia says so. It must be true. So that's why an orange reminds us of Bishop Nicholas, who became Saint Nicholas. Now, what else do we find in our stockings sometimes? Did anybody find one of these? No, nobody had one of these in your stockings? Now, apparently it is quite traditional to have one of these in your stockings, although we're not obviously very good at that. And sometimes you see them hung on Christmas trees, don't you? And things like that. And I don't know what they're called, but in American they're called candy canes, okay? Because they look a little bit like a walking stick. But what else could that remind you of? A shepherd's crook. Yep, a shepherd's crook. So actually, strangely, this takes us back to Bishop Nicholas as well, doesn't it? Because what do bishops hold in their hands quite often? A crook. The proper word is crozier. I know that, because I'm ordained in the Church of England. So, I even had to hold one once for a bishop. Very exciting. I was very embarrassed, and I left it against a column as soon as I could. Anyway, so that reminds us of a bishop's crozier, or shepherd's crook. And why do bishops carry those around? They carry those around because it reminds them that they are supposed to be pastors of God's people, shepherds of God's people. That's what they are supposed to be doing. Now, that idea that there are certain people who are supposed to look after God's people, I'm going to hang that there, goes right back to the Old Testament. Now, there's lots of shepherds in the Old Testament, aren't there? Who can think of the most important shepherd? Who's the most important shepherd in the Old Testament? David. Thank you. So David. I think I'm going to start giving out candy canes for correct answers. So, Ian, just for you. Was it behind? Did it come from behind? It's Jane, was it? Yeah. Clever, that Jane. Hannah's stolen it from her. Right. So, there's David. Now, so David was an actual shepherd at one time in his life, working for his father, Jesse. And where did Jesse live? He lived in... I'm going to run out of these soon. Bethlehem. Jesse lived in Bethlehem. You get one there. Jesse lived in Bethlehem. And David was an actual shepherd looking after sheep in the fields near Bethlehem. But later on, of course, he became king, didn't he? King of the people of Israel. And as king, he was called to look after the people of Israel. He was not only to govern the country as kings and queens might do today or prime ministers might do today, but he was also to encourage the people to worship God. That was part of responsibility. Now, David wasn't perfect, But he was a good shepherd. He was a good king. And the problem through most of Israel's history is that they had a whole load of bad shepherds. They had bad kings who didn't look after people. And perhaps some of us can think of people today who are supposed to look after us and don't do a good job of doing that. And as we look back over the past year, then there's been, you know, plenty of politicians who've let us down and not done things as they should have done, haven't they? And the problem is that there's always people who are not going to be very reliable and are going to let us down that way. So that was certainly the case in the day of Ezekiel, the prophet. And Ezekiel, the prophet, is wrote a book, and it's called Ezekiel, and it's in the Old Testament, and that's what we're going to look at first today. So adults might want to have a look at this in chapter 34. It's on page 865 of the Bibles you have. Now, Ezekiel lived about 600 years before Christ, before Jesus. And the problem of his day is that the ruling classes, that's probably mainly the priests, weren't very good at looking after the people. In fact, they were doing a lousy job. They were corrupt and they were lazy and they took advantage of the people to line their own pockets rather than looking after them as they're supposed to do. Now, in chapter 34, Ezekiel was told by God to go and stand up to these leaders and tell them that they weren't doing a good job. So he told them that they weren't being good shepherds. Now, I like Shaun the Sheep. My children never liked Shaun the Sheep, which was always very disappointing to me. But I like Shaun the Sheep. So we're going to have a Shaun the Sheep theme here. Okay, this is the farmer in Shaun the Sheep. Now, the farmer in Shaun the Sheep at Mossy Bottom Farm, as it's known, is not a very good farmer because he never knows actually what's going on in the field outside. He hasn't got a clue what's going on. Now, why do good shepherds need to know what's going on in the field outside, I wonder? Anybody think of that? Why do shepherds need to know what's going on? Lucas? So that they can look after their sheep. That's right. And why do they need to look after their sheep? So that they're safe. Good. Very good. Do you like these? You've had one. No, he doesn't like it. I didn't think you did. Very strange, because you have a very sweet tooth. All right. And so, yes, they need looking after because they might get injured or hurt or get lost or something like that. Now, the farmer wasn't a very good sheep because he didn't know what was going on. And so who is going to take care of the sheep? Who is going to take care of the sheep? Perhaps Shaun can do that because he's always a clever one, isn't he? He's the one who thinks up the good ideas. Perhaps he can take care of the flock. So what sort of things need doing, I wonder? Well, Shaun might need to strengthen the weak, or heal the sick, and bind up the injured. Perhaps Shaun can bring back the strays and search for the lost sheep. But no, I'm afraid that even Shaun is unable to do all these things, because God says in Ezekiel 34, verse 8, he says, "My flock lacks a shepherd. There is no good shepherd to look after the Lord's flock." So who will take care of the flock? Who will strengthen the weak, heal the sick, bind up the injured, and search for the lost? And what will happen to the sheep without a shepherd? Now, we have a new puppy at home, and he's very hard work. Imagine having 10 or 20 or 100 of those small puppies. It would be very, very hard work, wouldn't it? But also imagine being a sheep in a field on your own at night without anybody looking after you. How would that feel, I wonder? I think it would feel very frightening, don't you? Because you might get a bit lost or hurt or lonely. Therefore, God says, "My sheep wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. They were scattered over the whole earth, and no one searched or looked for them. And they became food for wild animals." It's a sad story, isn't it? It's a sad, sad story. They were left on their own, and they were scattered over the whole earth. No one searched or looked for them, and they became food for wild animals. Sheep without a shepherd, lost and hungry, sick and injured, scattered and hunted by wild animals. Well, as I said, it would be very hard work to be a shepherd, wouldn't it, to look after lots and lots of animals who need looking after. It would be really hard work, very costly. So the people of Israel need a new shepherd, don't they? But in the face of all these bad shepherds, Ezekiel the prophet didn't turn round and volunteer for the job, did he? Maybe he thought it was going to be too much hard work, I don't know. But he didn't volunteer for the work. He didn't say to the people, oh, don't listen to all these other people, just listen to me and you'll be okay with me. Because he actually knew that God had a much better plan than that. Because he knew that God had decided that he would be the good shepherd his people need. God himself would be the good shepherd. So God says, as a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so will I look after my sheep, in verse 12. God says, I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. I will bring them into safe pasture and shepherd the flock fairly and with justice. So God himself says, I will be their shepherd. Where there is no good shepherd to look after the sheep, I will be their shepherd. Now, after the next song we're about to sing now, we'll remind ourselves of how God really did care for his lost and hungry sheep, and heal the sick and bind up the injured and save them from their enemies about 600 years later. Okay, as we saw, the candy cane reminds us of St. Nicholas, because he was a bishop, and they hold croziers or shepherd's crooks. It reminds us of our need for a good shepherd. And Ezekiel reminded us that God himself promised to be that good shepherd who looks after his people. But Ezekiel also said that God would send another servant who would be like David, and he would be a good shepherd with God. So what did David do before he was a king? Well, he was a shepherd, wasn't he? And where did David live whilst he was being a shepherd? He lived in Bethlehem, didn't he? And the prophecies went that the Messiah, the chosen king of God, would be a descendant of David and would be born in Bethlehem, and that his reign would go on forever. Now, how does that remind you of? And how might this remind us of Jesus? Is that the right way around? Yes, it is. So if you put it like that, it makes a J. That's good. It's good, isn't it? So you got J for Jesus. So that's another reminder that you have. So we need to have a look at Jesus, don't we? And let's turn our Bibles to John chapter 10. So this is 600 years later. And if you remember Ezekiel, the problem that Ezekiel had was that he was surrounded by people who pretended to be shepherds of the Lord's flock, but were bad shepherds. They were not good shepherds. And the thing is, in John chapter 10, well, 9 and 10, nothing had changed. Because the ruling class of the day, in this case the Pharisees, were still doing a bad job of shepherding Israel. And you see that in chapter 9. If you just look back to chapter 9, and verses 13 to 34, Jesus had healed a blind man, and the Pharisees didn't know what to believe about this, so they called in the blind man and said, you know, what's going on here? And half of them thought that Jesus was a madman or was demon-possessed because he healed this man. The other half were prepared to listen to him. But they treated this man really badly, really, because he had been healed by Jesus. Now, when faced with this situation, Ezekiel didn't say, well, you know, listen to me. You know, they're all bad teachers, but listen to me, did he? He said that God would look after his flock. So who is going to be the new shepherd of Israel? Well, Jesus is not like Ezekiel. He's not just a prophet. Because Jesus can say in verse 14, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. So you see, putting these two passages together, you find that Jesus is the new David. He's sent by God. Through Jesus, God himself tends and cares for his flock. And unlike the farmer ensuring the sheep, Jesus knows exactly what is going on out in the fields. He knows when we are feeling lost or hungry, when we are sick or vulnerable. And we can put our trust in Jesus. Unlike many of these other leaders and people who claim to be people who look after us and look after our interests today in the world, Jesus will never let us down. Well, not only that, because Jesus also says that there's one more thing that the good shepherd must do for his sheep, isn't there? And that is to lie down his life for his sheep. Now, coming back to these candy canes again, some people say that they are normally, they're white and red normally, aren't they? This one's got a little bit of green in as well. But normally they're white and red. And some people would say that the white there represents the purity of Jesus, his sinless life that could only come from God, because he and the Father are one. He is the good shepherd who will never let us down. But the red is there to show his willingness to die so that we might have eternal life. So see, if you put those things together, just like the chocolate orange, you find that this candy cane can remind us of some of the amazing claims that Jesus made. He wasn't just a human king, but he was God himself. God giving himself not only to care and to look after his sheep in the field, but to die also so that we might be saved and have eternal life. Now, when the Pharisees heard this, when they heard Jesus say this in verse 19 in John chapter 10, some thought he was mad, some thought he was demon-possessed, some of them wanted to stone him right there and then. Others of them thought that the authority must come from God because he was doing so much good. Verse 21. And the question, as it was on Christmas Day, is what do we think of that? As ever of Jesus, we're faced with this decision, aren't we? Was he just a madman who claimed to be something he wasn't? Was he truly God? Was he truly God who came to be our good shepherd, to die, to rise again, so that you and I might have eternal life if we put our trust and our faith in him? So that's a good question to be asking, and Mike will be telling you a little bit later on about the world we all want course, and it'd be great if you could maybe think about attending that yourselves, or maybe there's somebody you think you'd like to invite to that course. But I'm going to pray in a moment. But first of all, I'm just going to read you from John chapter 10, verses 11 to 18, and then I'm going to pray. So Jesus said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is the hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheepfold. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have the authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I receive from my Father." Let's pray. Father God, we thank you that many, many centuries ago, you promised that instead of all these poor shepherds who were not looking after their sheep properly, you yourself would become our good shepherd. Thank you that you sent Jesus to make that promise come true, that he is our good shepherd, the one who lays down his life for his sheep. Lord, help us to put our trust in you, to put our trust in Jesus, so that we may know, we may be forgiven, we may have eternal life, knowing you. Thank you, Lord, for all he did for us. In his name.